Well, we are glad to be back. As I said, we appreciate your pastor being so kind to give us the opportunity. I had a couple of directions I was going to go, but I think I'm going to go this route. Look in the Gospel of Luke with me this evening. For those who don't know us, we've been coming, I think, since about 2011, something like that. And those were maybe just a service or a day or something. Then he's had me a couple of times for missions and special things. And anyway, we're just glad he has us. Amen. My name is Gary Shock, just like an electric shock. And you know, it's not a hard name, but I get called just about anything. Shook, shack, shark, shoot, sharp. And I usually tell pastors, call me anything, just call me. You know, amen. That's my wife, Barbara, that I'm sitting with. And we've been married 52 plus years. And it'll be 53 come September. God gave us 6 children. You know Daniel very well. He's one of them. Amen. We've got 13 grandchildren. You know them. No, 2 of them, Noah and Sophia. And then we have 4 great-grandchildren. You know you're old when you talk about great-grandchildren. Amen. All right. So much for the history. Luke chapter 3. I want to look at one verse. Luke 3 and verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to be back here at Cazadale. We thank you, Brother Burke, and Lord, how you're using him here. We were noticing the screen with all the activities coming up. Lord, he's doing a great job for you. I pray you continue to bless him. We ask that you'd help us tonight. Give us liberty. Make the preaching time easy. Pray each heart be open, receptive. And Lord, it's going to be a challenge. I pray that we'd receive what you have. If there is one here unsettled, unsaved, we pray they'd see their need of the Savior, or that they'd come before it's too late. We'll praise you for these things, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, he already said Daniel and Jesse are coming tomorrow night with Sophia and Noah, and they sing. They do a whole lot better job than me. And so I just put that bug in for them. Amen. I'm looking here at verse 23 at just one phrase. Now, look at the verse again. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being. Now notice the parentheses. As was supposed. In parentheses. The son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Parentheses. I'm not an English teacher. Don't claim to know a whole lot about English. I struggled with English in school. But that the parentheses sets that thought off from the main text, from the main sentence. Are you with me? Amen. If you look at time is a parenthesis. God's always been. Time has been inserted for man's benefit. It's not the main text. Amen. Well, here, that phrase, as was supposed, has been inserted into the thought in the verse. Now, as we look at it in its text, it's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then it refers to him as the son of Joseph. Well, you and I that are saved, we understand that Joseph would have been like his legal father, like an adoptive father, something along that line, that God was his father, amen, that our Lord was the Son of God, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, born of the woman at God's set time, that he was the Son of God at the same time that he was God the Son, amen, amen. But that parenthesis there, as was supposed to be the son of Joseph. I'm not trying to get off here, and I hope I can define what I'm trying to say. Supposition, it'll cost you. Supposition. When you look up a definition on it, it has to do with presumption, conjecture, assuming or believing something that may not necessarily be so. Amen? Okay? Now, here in the verse, as I said, we know that he was the Son of God. And it's inserted there for our benefit as far as a legal position. Joseph was his adoptive father. But now this goes back to the fact that he was born of the Virgin. It was prophesied, Isaiah 7, that he would be born not just of a young maiden, but born of the Virgin. So, you know, people haven't changed a whole lot. From generation to generation, people haven't changed a whole lot. People like to talk. Okay? And again, I'm not attacking our Lord. I hope you understand. But those of his day attacked our Lord. Yeah. And they say he's not the son of Joseph. He's the son of God. Okay? Amen? So there's an assumption here. That parenthesis. Assumption can get you in trouble. We're all guilty of assumption. We're all guilty of supposition. We're all guilty of conjecture. Amen? See it again in chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. Here is where Jesus is the 12-year-old boy. And we're going to use our Bibles here for a little bit, if that's okay. He's the 12-year-old boy. And Joseph and Mary had been to Jerusalem to worship. And they're on their way back. Here, look, pick it up with me in verse 43, Luke 2:43. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. See, they assumed he was on board the caravan. I've heard humor helps. That's why I drive that Dodge. It's okay. They supposed him to be on board. Well, I've used this at Christmas a lot of times when I don't know as if our Lord is necessarily born in December. I personally kind of doubt it. But what we celebrate is the fact that he was born. Amen. Okay. But a lot of times, we suppose him to be in our Christmas. But he oftentimes gets lost in the ribbons and the bows. Amen. Well, they supposed him to be on board. They assumed that he'd gotten on board when they left. Amen. Supposition. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I'm not there yet myself. All right, I'm there. Here in Matthew 20, it's the where he talks about the laborers in the field. And he goes out early in the day and he hires some to go work in his field. And promises them a penny. And he goes out again a little later and he finds some more. And hires them. And he goes out again all the way up to the 11th hour. He goes out the 11th hour and hires them. And he promises them all a penny. Okay. Well, you know where I'm headed here. Look at verse 9, Matthew 20, verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, notice now, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Now, we could sideline that and run a rabbit. Longevity doesn't mean anything in your service for the Lord if you're not doing anything. Amen. It's not a seniority system in service for the Lord. It's not a union job other than being in union with Christ. Amen. Boy, that went over kind of shake. What he's saying? I'm saying that, hey, the Lord gave them what He promised them. He gave them all a penny. But those that were hired at the start of the day, because they'd borne the heat of the day and been out there so much longer, they assumed that they should get more. Again, humor helps. You think of this thought, some folks have been in the way for 40 years. But that's all they've been. Amen. Okay. Hey, I think about, you know, reading of, and I'm sure there's some today that we don't know of, but I reading like David Brainerd and people like that died at a young age and did so much in the short time they had, and you know, great will be their reward. Amen. Okay. And that ought to encourage us that, hey, if we'll get busy for Him, there's a reward promised. Amen. But I'm looking at that thought about supposition. See it one more place. Can we do that? Look in Acts. Acts chapter 27. I think in Acts 21, excuse me. Acts 21, verse 29. Here's where, Paul has gone in Jerusalem and taken that vow. Okay? And, it's where, he's seen, beforehand with a Gentile. Look at verse 26. We'll start at verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered in the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesians, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple, and all the city was moved. They supposed, because Paul was in the city and this Gentile was with him, that they had supposed that Paul had defiled the temple by bringing this Gentile man in the temple with him." Okay? I'm concentrating in that thought of supposition, assumption, conjecture. Amen. I've got about four thoughts I want to share with you, but I'm leading into this. You don't realize what you have until it's gone. You don't miss something until you lose it. Now, where are you headed, preacher? We assumed the church would always meet. We supposed things would always be as they'd been. But my, we were rudely awakened. How quick things can change. Amen. I agree with your pastor. We talked about this when I got in on Tuesday a little bit. And that is that we were in a position where, because of a testimony for the Lord, we had to be cautious and careful about what we did. But what's amazing is how easily the government controlled the church. Amen? See, this thing of assumption, supposition. I think it foreshadows a lot of what's going to take place in the future. It's, folks, we get amazed thinking, well, how is one man going to take over the world? You see how easily the world submitted on this virus. I mean, it locked down everything. It was a death sentence for evangelists. Amen. I was afraid to answer the phone. Every call was another cancellation. And I'm not making light of that. I understand the gravity, the pressure put upon pastors. I was in a meeting. We had started Sunday, and Monday night, I went back to the motel, and the priest had called and said, we're going to have to shut it down. State said, we can't go on. Just that quick. Supposition, presumption, assumption. Well, I said I've got four thoughts, okay? The first thought is this. Supposition can cost you your soul's salvation. Are you getting this? You can assume something that may not necessarily be so. Just because you're sitting in a good church, just because you've been raised in a good home, that doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Now, I did pastor, mainly in the South. You know what? One of the hardest things to find in the South was a lost sinner. I'm being a little facetious. You're getting it. What do you mean? I mean, well, honey, I've always been in church. One dear lady troubled me greatly. Why, my mama carried me to church on a pillow. I've been in church my whole life. She's quite up in years. Quite up in years. But I couldn't nail her down on when she'd gotten saved. Nobody's always anything. There's a starting place. Amen? Let me give you a couple examples from the scripture. Assumption. A lot of people never get saved because they have preconceived notions or ideas about what it is to be a Christian. You think about an Old Testament example would be Naaman, the Syrian general. Naaman was a mighty man, a military man, a valiant man, led his troops to many victories. Naaman had a little Hebrew maid in service for him that he'd taken and captured in battle. Just from this reaction of the little Hebrew maid, I don't think Naaman was a severe man as far as, you know, she being in his house. I think he must have been kind to her, treated her well. Amen. All I'm trying to say is there's a whole lot of good things to be said about Naaman. But Naaman had a problem. And he couldn't do anything to cure that problem on his own. All the outward things that could be said about him, he was a leper. Naaman was a leper. He couldn't change that fact. No matter what he did, he could not change that fact. Well, the little Hebrew maid was burdened for him. had compassion on him. That's where Jude says, and if some having compassion, she was burdened for him. Let it be known, if Naaman could only get back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, back to the man of God, that he could be made whole from the leprosy. Well, Naaman packed up, left Syria and went to Israel. And he showed up at the king's house. That king had some wisdom, some sense about him. That king ran his clothes. What can I do for you? My God, what can I do for you? Amen. See, government's not our solution in anything. Amen. Government has a role. They ought to give the police officers a raise. That's their role. You're welcome. Amen. Law and order and safety. But now, he finally then went to the man of God, as was what the little Hebrew maid had said. He finally went to the man of God. But he went with preconceived notions. The man of God said, go dip yourself 7 times in Jordan's waters. Boy, Naaman was irate. Those muddy waters, Jordan's muddy waters. And he named a couple rivers back home. Boy, them rivers back home, they were clear and they were much better than Jordan's muddy waters. Well, somebody got a hold of him and said, some things to him, and he finally realized he needed to do what the man of God said. He said, behold, I thought. That's his preconceived notions. After he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan's waters, when he came up that 7th time, the leprosy was gone. He was fully whole. Amen. Just try and envision that. Leprosy is a terrible disease. You don't guess about somebody having leprosy. It's all over them. Amen. But he come up the 7th time, that flesh just as if he'd been newly born. Amen. And he come up saying, behold, now I know. Hey, that's how it is when you come God's way. It's not I hope to go to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I've always raised in church. No, it's I know. My sins are under the blood. Jesus sees me through the blood. God the Father sees me through the blood of Jesus, His Son. Amen. Well, I'll give you a New Testament illustration. You remember the rich young ruler came running to Jesus and said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord told him, thou knowest the commandments. Boy, if he'd had suspenders on, he'd have puffed them out. All these have I kept from my youth. What do I yet lack? The Lord told him, go sell all that he had and give to the poor, and take up his cross and follow him. Now you could back it up. You could dip yourself in all the waters everywhere. You could sell everything you have. That's not going to make you right with God. But the illustrations are there for us to make an analogy. Okay, amen. Well, the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had great riches, and he held on to the immediate, saw the temporal things as more value. What's your point? He thought he was good enough on his own. He thought he could do something on his own to make himself right. All the assumptions. What's tragic about that man is you never see where he ever got right. He held on to his riches, his self-righteousness, his way of life, and died without hope, died without God. assuming he could do something to make himself right. Can I give you a third? You think about the rich farmer in Luke 12. God has blessed this man. Boy, we serve a good God, don't we? My, my. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. God bless his people. Amen. God had blessed this man to where every year he took in more harvest. He had no time for God. He assumed he'd have time later. He supposed when he got older. Am I ringing any bells? When he got ready, he said to himself, "Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." The Lord's response was, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." What's your thought? Hey, too many people assume they have plenty of time. I pastored a lady in South Carolina. She'd moved there from Indianapolis to South Carolina. And the Lord saved her when she was 36 years old. She had a teenage daughter that she witnessed to. The daughter got older and got married, had grandchildren. She had grandchildren. But she told her mama, she said, "Mama, I'll think about it when I'm 36. Assumption. Supposition can cost you your soul's salvation. There's a second thought. And that is that supposition can rob you of your joy. You can assume everything's going to work your way. You know, we live more by sight than we do by faith. There's an old hymn, I don't know if it's in that hymnal you have, but it talks about living by faith in Jesus above. Well, we need to change it when we sing it. Living by sight and what I can see. We live by circumstance. If the circumstances are good, we're up. If the circumstances aren't good, we're down. When we think about our God, does not the Bible say the same yesterday, today, and forever? I'm the Lord God, I change not. Meaning, He's God on the good days as well as He is on the bad days, and vice versa. But we'll rob ourselves of joy when the difficult days come. You know the truth. The Lord said, in the world. Now, isn't that where we are right now? We're still here, right? In the world, ye shall have tribulation. It's coming. That's not a reference to the great tribulation. That just means the difficulties of life. That's a rude awakening when we discover that life isn't always fair. That wanting fairness in life will get us thinking we ought to get what we deserve. Then we ought to back up 3 steps and say, "God, I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy, God. I want mercy. I don't want what I deserve." But if we're looking at circumstance, and it's, I want what I deserve, I don't deserve this. Did you know the God who spoke the worlds into existence controls the circumstances? Let me finish the verse before I lose it. In the world you shall have tribulation, but, aren't you glad for those buts? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Meaning the difficult days are nothing for him. Now, that doesn't mean if you leave here and pick up a nail in your tire and it goes flat that you ought to get out and run 59 times around the car saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, I got a flat tire, hallelujah. No, there are trying times. Difficult days. Difficult times. But God's still on the throne. I'll give you a real good illustration. You think about Martha and Mary. They come to Jesus in John 11, and they're crying out, He whom thou lovest, can you hear their voice? Their brother's sick, at the point of dying. He whom thou lovest is sick. And they left, just knowing Jesus was coming. Am I right? His disciples, they didn't understand. He after they left, they asked about Lazarus. And Jesus said, he's asleep. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing good. But then the Lord got pointed. No, Lazarus is dead. But in that context, does he not say that what was to take place would be for the glory of God? Amen. Well, Jesus shows up 4 days later. That's where they get that song, 4 days late. He's never late. Our God's never late. He's never late. But when he showed up, can you still see Mary and Martha? I mean, it didn't get better for them. They're heartbroken. They've buried their brother. Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. But my, if they'd have gotten what they wanted, think about what we would have missed. Because those tears of sorrow in just a little bit turned into tears of joy when Lazarus came out of that tomb. Glory to God. What are you saying? I'm saying you can get so focused on your circumstance. It'll cost you your joy. You and I, if there's such a thing as a happy people, that'll be you and I. And I'm not making light of circumstance, please. You know my son Daniel. He's doing the best that he's ever done. It's remarkable how God's using him. It is truly he's a walking miracle. But 18 years ago, almost 18 years ago, come September will be 18 years, we didn't see the bright light. My wife lay in that hospital bed. They give us a place to stay. Wept all night. I couldn't do anything for her. Couldn't do anything. She laid there, oh God, my son. Oh God, my son. Oh God. But those tears of sorrow turned into great tears of joy. How God's using that young man. And God's still using him. Gonna use him more. Amen. All I'm saying is that, hey, supposition. See, we can assume. See, Mary and Martha assumed Jesus was right behind them. He was, but it was on his time. Not on theirs. We'll get so caught up in the moment, we'll sell everything. We'll sell out. I know it's not the same, but you think about Esau and Jacob. Esau lived for the moment. Come out of the field. He thought he was at the point of death. Come on. He's just been hunting too long. He says, give me some of your pottage. Oh, the crafty one said, some of your birthright. Sold all! Because of circumstance. Are you following me? Amen. It'll cost you your joy. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have hardships. Life is filled with hardships. It just means that, hey, it didn't sneak up on God. Amen. If we could be like Job, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Supposition. Well, set the plow a third time. Supposition can cost your soul salvation. It can rob you of your joy. But then supposition can cost you your crown. There's five crowns mentioned in the New Testament. You should be well aware of them. There's the crown of life. There's the crown of rejoicing. There's the incorruptible crown. There's the crown of glory, which will only be given to the faithful man of God. Amen. And then there's the crown of righteousness. Well, that crown of righteousness has been referred to as a soul winner's crown. You think about Paul there in, what is it, 1 Thessalonians 2. Are you not our rejoicing? What are you getting at? I am guilty of assuming too many things when I talk to somebody. I miss golden opportunities because they look right, they talk right, they act right. Are you following me? See, it's easy to see if you, where Brother Slee is tonight down in Cincinnati. You go down there in Cincinnati and see some of them on the streets, and boy, you know they're sinners. Are you getting what I'm saying? God will put somebody in our path, and it doesn't even dawn on us that He put them there that we might tell them about Jesus. Because they look right, and they act right, and they talk right. It cost us their crown. Missions. I know I'm not preaching missions. But we can assume some places don't need a missionary. Wow. Why are we supporting him? Where he's going? That's not the jungle. Well, you're real quiet tonight. This dust plow is stirring up the ground. Amen. There's a fourth thought. Brother Burke did say, come and preach, though. Yes. Amen. This will help us if we get a hold of it. The last thought is simply this, that supposition can cost the church what God has for it. The blessing of the Lord could cost you revival. The preacher announced he's preaching in a community meeting. You can go there with preconceived ideas. You know, revival meetings today, they're just a meeting. We come in as we are and leave as we came. Revival, that's for the ages past. There's no revival today. That's some of what I hear. At best, preacher, all we can do is have a meeting. Is that right? And then we can get this too. Well, you know, really, so-and-so should have been here tonight. That message was for them. That was my mail. Send it back. Are you getting it? We can assume, hey, that wasn't for me. And miss everything God has for us. As a church, we miss what God has for us. All I'm saying is that, hey, every time we come, we can't suppose that it's just a meeting. Or that's all it'll be. The way this thing is going, I don't think our president will ever shut the nation down again. But he can't control each community, each county, every state. There's some of them that opened that are closing back up. And there's some that haven't opened yet. Our son Ben's Air Force in California. He hates California. I hope nobody hears from California. He hates California. It's a beautiful state. I mean, the scenery is, I mean, it is a beautiful state. But hey, I mean, they can't hardly go out of their house in California. Another state up north, your rival, that governor there said, my orders, my executive orders are law and they will be obeyed. You know, I don't know how much things will change here in the next little bit. Hopefully it's going to get better. I'm not making light of the virus. There have been many people that have died. Death is not easy, especially if you don't know who they are and where they're going. I'm not making light of any of it. But I'm saying we can just suppose that eventually things are going to return. And in that assumption, miss out on everything God has for us. Well, take advantage of every time to meet. Every time there's an altar call. Every time there's an invitation to do something for God. Take advantage of it while it's here. And not assume that it's always going to be. And end up losing and missing what God had for us. Amen. I don't know where that community meeting is. You might have to drive a little ways. But God may have something there for you. You have a great pastor. He's a Bible preacher. Did you know that's a rarity today? There's a lot of storytellers. But you have a rare thing. You ought to take advantage of every opportunity to tell him. Well, we thank God for you. When he preaches, respond to it. Especially when there's an invitation. Not, you know, so-and-so, boy, they missed it. That was their message. If I see them, I'm going to tell them. Is that so? And miss what God had for you. My wife has to hear me all the time. I'm being a little facetious. She tells me I'm her best preacher. I hope so. But when we're home, we love to hear our pastor. He's a Bible preacher too. Amen. And when we're leaving the church, after every time we're home, we're leaving the church, she goes up to him and not out of line if he's talking with somebody. Please understand, you know, she's not pushing in where she can. But I mean, if he's standing up and she'll go up and say, Pastor, got a lot of help tonight. Got some more things to work on. Want to thank you. She's been saved 47 years. Still working on things. You can miss out on a lot with assumption. Let's stand. The pastor's coming. Father, I thank you for the good